Well, we have been talking the last few weeks about sharing our gifts. Now, if you didn't get a chance to, I hope that you will take the spiritual gifts assessment that's available at umc.org. I'm going to send the link out again in this week's email. I may include another goofy survey you can also take. Last week it was find your spiritual gifts and what Muppet you are. But if you don't want to wait for the... Yeah, and what Muppet you are, Mardell, I want to know. You look it up, you tell me, okay? But I also want to let you know, you can also go home and just Google Spiritual Gifts UMC, and it pops up. They've done good work that way. But consider what God has given you, what your gifts are. This is what we're looking at together, and I want to know. A couple of you emailed me, hey, did you know this? And I was like, yes. It's, you know, when Larry Hoyle sends you one that says, hey, did you know I'm a helper and a healer? Sorry to out you, Larry, but come on. There are just so many different spiritual gifts. There are so many ways God has blessed each and every one of us to be who we are and give us things we get to offer the world. The Bible includes lots of lists. If you add them all together, and I am a little generous, oh, that's a gift, and that's a gift, and that's a gift. There are dozens and dozens of ways we can name the things God is doing with each of us in this world. These gifts are what have helped the work of the church transform the world throughout our history. It's not us necessarily as individuals, but us as people who are gifted by a God who works in and with and through us that makes such a beautiful difference. It's God's grace in action. When we share our gifts, we're not only making a difference, but we are making the world different. And I'm of the opinion that this best happens when we do so as a Christian community. I believe in each of us sharing our gifts everywhere, in every interaction as individuals. But there's something powerful about a community of people working together to share their gifts and do something in this world. Christian community is about being a part of something bigger than ourselves. There have been so many efforts to describe Christian community throughout our history as Christian people, but there's one metaphor that's been used since the very beginning, and that metaphor is the body of Christ. Now, this is a churchy term that needs to be unpacked. Wait, the body of Christ. So we're talking about the guy? No. Body of Christ. So we're talking about communion, because, you know, you always talk about the body of Christ during communion. Sort of, but no. Okay, so what are we talking about? This. This is the body of Christ. Take a look around. It's funny, when we share in communion, we even use the phrase, God, please let the bread and the juice be the body of Christ for us, that we might be the body of Christ for the world. It's about becoming what Jesus was all about. It's funny, this metaphor, the body of Christ, has been used since the very beginning because, you know, when you're looking for a good metaphor to talk about something big that's made up of lots of little parts, in modern times, we've got a lot of good examples. We could use all sorts of human-created things and examples. I don't know, computers and cars and all sorts of stuff. But at the time our scriptures were written, there weren't any complex machines. The body, the human body, was the biggest unit made up of small but nameable parts that our scripture writers could have ever used. And so that's what they did. The Apostle Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that mean it's not part of the body? Or if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, does that mean it's not a part of the body? Because if the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body, just like God wanted. If all were one and the same, what would happen? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. This way, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are often the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that aren't presentable don't need that. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to those that are thought to have less. That way there won't be division in the body, that every part might have mutual concern for each other. If one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part of the body is honored, all the parts are honored with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. This scripture, this embodied metaphor, asks all of us to realize some things. And here's the first. There is a place for you. Hear that clearly. There is a place for you. Notice I'm not saying, oh, we'll make a place. No. There is a place. Maybe it's a good thing that there weren't cars at the time this was written. Because something about you are the Cadillac of Christ doesn't convey the same message we're going for here today. With any human-made objects that we've created ourselves, there's a tendency to see connection as something that's developed and added on and augmented. You know, that somehow, oh, sure, we'll make a place for you. That's that car image to me. Because then it's, oh no, the Cadillac of Christ can come with some good options. Do you want teachers, healers, sunroof? We'll create something for you. That it already exists, but okay, we'll find some place. You can be the new floor mat. That's not how this works. No one is an add-on in the body of Christ. Because we're a part of the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, including everyone is not an option. It's a reality. Because we are organically, together in that body. And in creating you, God has placed you in relationship with the rest of humanity. There is a place for you. Sometimes we all need to be reminded of this. Some folks need to be reminded of it more often. Some folks hardly ever need to be reminded of it. The idea that we're gifted, the idea that God has created something for us and calls us and has a place for us and has great things in store for us. Some folks need to hear that more often than others. There's an obvious effort in this scripture that we read to curtail some bragging and inflated self-aggrandizing that was going on in the early church. There are some crazy moments when some people would say, well, you know, I got the gift of prophecy, so I should really be in charge here. Or other folks would say, oh, that's cute. You heal people, right? Your presence makes them feel more comfortable. Your presence gives people hope. By the way, healing can be that. It doesn't just have to be like, poof. And folks would look at those gifts and say, that's cute. You go over there. Let the leaders take care of things. Oh, people. This is what happens sometimes, isn't it? Paul was trying to address what I've sometimes called a healthy overconfidence. My wife calls it arrogance. But Paul's trying to address this in the church. And what he's trying to name with folks who often are reminding themselves how great they are because of the gifts they have. Paul looks at them and says, listen, no one gets to say I'm the be-all, end-all. No one gets to decide that others are unnecessary. The hand doesn't get to tell the foot to take a hike. The eye doesn't get to tell the nose, smell you later. I've got like a dozen of these, but I'm only using two. You see, this has been and continues to be a problem in building community. When folks start to rate folks and place them over one another, and oh, we've watched this happen in so many different ways throughout society. In early church life, this happened through individuals trying to marginalize others and run the whole church because they thought their gifts made them God's gift to the world. You know, in the modern church, we still have problems. But these conversations tend to be people trying to homogenize the body. It's the hand telling the foot, oh no, foot, you can be here, but could you just try to act more like a hand, please? Or it's the elbow telling the belly button, no, we accept you, just not your lifestyle. We don't get to do that in the body of Christ. We don't. Because we are all a part of the body of Christ, the way God has created, formed, and invited us to be. Paul is really trying to say that none of us can do or be anything without everyone else. Everyone else exactly as God created them. Now, Paul's trying to address that idea of some folks thinking they're way up here, while at the same time, there's a flip side. And Paul has to address some other issues for folks. Because there certainly is another side to this conversation. Because for every inflated self-concept out there, there's certainly at least one deflated one. Whether it's because of internal doubts or external pressures. Sometimes we look and say, I got nothing. And I tell you, it's far too easy not to talk about those moments. It's far too uncomfortable, right? Let's avoid discussing the hard stuff. But I think it's so important to name that sometimes we feel like we have very little to offer. Sometimes we feel that in the body of Christ, we are some unneeded, unnecessary body part that has nothing to offer. There are days and moments I think any of us can feel like we are the appendix of Christ. That's not the addition to the book, that's the body part. Because, anyway. Now, as I prepared this message for today, I was trying to think about different body parts that may sometimes be overlooked or unappreciated. It was amazing, as I did some research on the appendix, Duke University has done some pretty cool things to prove the appendix has some really neat functions for the body. But those metaphors that we would start to use to discuss that get very digestive and very awkward. So we're just going to work with this for a moment. The general public opinion regarding the appendix is that it doesn't do anything and it is unnecessary. And sometimes that's how any of us can feel. We can feel that ourselves, or we can feel that the world thinks that about us. For some, it's just a moment here or there, a rough spot. For others, it can be an ongoing state of self-perception. And as a community, I want to let you know, we need to be comfortable with that. Now, I'm not saying we need to accept that that's how the world can make people feel. No. We don't want anyone to have to feel that way. But we do need to get comfortable with the idea that sometimes stuff's hard. And we need to create space. We need to create space for those feelings where that can be honored, and the doubts can be aired, and the questions can be asked, and the tears can be cried, and we can have those conversations together. You see, this is the kind of space that we should remind each other that God is okay with you, even when you're not okay with you. And so are we. Now, this circles us back to an earlier point, that there is a place for each of us. I tell you, if you don't know what you have to offer, we'd love to figure it out with you. If you feel incapable of offering anything because life's left you a little wearied and worn, you can have the time and space to recharge here. If you wish you were someone else because you're unhappy with who you think you are or who the world is telling that you are, we will remind you over and over that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. That's the business we're in. And I've chatted with folks about this before and find that sometimes folks feel that needing these things is just an imposition. No. The fact that I don't want to impose. Well, trust me. Allow this to be a reminder that we all have gifts to share. And at one time or another, we all have to receive them or we can't offer things to each other. Sometimes acknowledging you have a need and letting someone care for you is the greatest gift you can give them. Because now God's working in that relationship in a way God wasn't before. You see, when we share our gifts with each other, we all benefit. We should feel just as good letting someone offer their gifts as we do feel offering our own. Because we're connected. This is the body we live in. A body that includes each and every one of us. A body that needs each and every one of us exactly as we are. Because just as God intentionally created you, God intentionally created your body just as it is, God has intentionally created this body the way it is. So I just want to take a moment and say thank you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for bringing what you bring. And thank you for caring, supporting, and welcoming all the other parts of this body that make us who we are. Because that connection is the gift we share. Amen.